Heavenly Father, be in my speaking and in our listening, that together we may bring glory to your name. Amen. It was quite difficult to settle on a theme for this morning's sermon, with it being Father's Day, the Sunday of the Flower Festival, and of course the third Sunday after Trinity, as far as the lectionary readings are concerned. However, I hope that the Flower Festival theme of inspiration will be seen via my decision to concentrate this morning on Father's Day. Today we honour and celebrate our earthly fathers and those who've acted as fathers in our lives. Fathers are so important not only to the stability of the family and as an example to their sons and daughters, but to our view of God as our Heavenly Father. I want to use the lectionary readings to focus on the nature of our Heavenly Father, who he is, how he thinks, and how he accomplishes his work in the world. The word father takes on its understanding in our lives according to the type of father we have or had, doesn't it? And it can be quite difficult to understand God as father depending on our own experience of a father. If our dad is or was very laid back and easygoing, for instance, we may see God as a father for whom anything goes, really, a sort of bosom pal. Or if our relationship with dad was a difficult one, then we may find it hard to have a close relationship with God at all. But God isn't like any of our earthly fathers, is he? We need to understand who he is, and the only conclusion we can come to by reading the scriptures is this: God is love. Not just loving like our earthly father might be, he is love. He's amazing beyond our understanding, glorious, perfect, all-powerful, has everything, needs nothing, yet is focused on a tiny planet spinning in space, and all those sinners, that's us, who inhabit it. It's completely overwhelming. So if God is love, how does he think? How is his thinking different from ours? We are human beings, weak, sinful and vulnerable. But when it comes to us and our world, the scriptures show us how passionate our Heavenly Father is in concern for his children. In our readings today, there are several examples of how this most powerful being, who is God, thinks when it comes to us humans. First, he includes us in his work establishing his kingdom on this earth. When Jesus described how the kingdom of God would come, he said it would be from a tiny start, like the smallest of seeds, to eventually cover the entire earth. God's plan is that we would have a part in the establishing of this kingdom, working with him to share the gospel with the whole world. We're responsible for planting seeds of faith that will grow the kingdom of God. We can't make the seeds grow, but we can plant them. When you think about it, there are countless little things from which the kingdom of God can grow. A timely phone call, a hug, an encouraging word, an invitation, giving someone our undivided attention when they need to talk. God is building a worldwide kingdom. He has faithful followers in every part of the world, and our faith, our contribution, however small, can join with that of others to accomplish great things. Big things come from small beginnings. That's how God thinks. Another example of how God thinks is the story of Samuel's anointing of David as the new king of Israel. Samuel thought for sure that Jesse's oldest son had all the attributes to become God's chosen one. But God's thinking is different. He chooses to work through those we might consider to be the least important. He chooses the youngest son, the shepherd boy, David. God so loved this shepherd boy that many generations later, the Messiah would be born of the same family lineage. And like David, His choice was a surprise to the people then. The scriptures do point out that Jesus didn't stand out in a crowd for the way he looked. He didn't have any especially outstanding physical features. Even his birth had a rough start. God could have created totally different conditions for the birth of his son, but he humbled himself even more in allowing Jesus to be born in such circumstances. That's how God thinks. So not knowing what bold plan God has in store for those we meet, however unlikely they seem to us, we are called to sow that tiny seed and allow God to work powerfully in that life to accomplish great things. Just think about it. The person sitting next to you right now might be destined to have a greater role in bringing in the kingdom than you or they ever imagined. So what about you and me? What does God think of us? Well, I know that he loves me and forgives me a lot, but surely my age is against me now. I wonder if that's how you think of yourself. Maybe some of us think we're too young to serve God. If so, remember the child Samuel and the teenager David. Or maybe we feel we're too old or the wrong gender. Think of Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Deborah, Priscilla, and Anna, among others. No one is discounted. In the words of Mother Teresa, as quoted in our Flower Festival program, we are all called to do something beautiful for God. And those who've put together these displays, inspired by great works of art, music, and prose from the past and the present, have certainly done that. Yes, God looks at us and sees great possibilities. Placed in his care, we each have special powers or gifts. Maybe you have the gift of hospitality, are good at teaching, powerful in prayer, or just love to serve. God is the kind of Father who never gives up on us, who sees our potential, nurtures and uses our gifts, and encourages us to step out of our comfort zones to serve him in new ways every day. In our reading from Corinthians today, Paul tells us how we should think of ourselves, not as we once were in our sinful nature, but as new creations who no longer live for ourselves but for Christ. Our sins are forgiven and forgotten by God, past, present, and future. Why? So that we can focus on others and not on ourselves all the time. Yes, of course, we all have our faults and bad habits. Try as we might to avoid it, we all sin. But that shouldn't hinder us from serving wherever God has placed us. Jesus' sacrifice is greater than anything we can do to offend our Father. Paul says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." Isn't it wonderful that God in his love has, what God in his love has done for us? Christians are brand new people on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives us new life, and we're not the same anymore. We're not reformed, rehabilitated, or re-educated. We're new creations living in vital union with Christ. We're not merely turning over a new leaf, we're beginning a new life under a new master. Jesus held nothing back, even his own life, in bringing about this new creation. Paul says that this kind of self-sacrificing love should motivate us to share his love with others. We all have our weaknesses, yet God has given each of us certain strengths, certain gifts that we can all use in a team effort for good. Let's end today with what God told Samuel when deciding which of Jesse's sons to anoint as king. The God does not see, the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. A familiar quotation from Psalm 92 tells how God sees us. We who by grace have been made righteous in Jesus Christ. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree, and they will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." So our hearts have been transformed by Jesus through his Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. Through our adoption in Christ, our brother, we have been made our Father's beloved children. And just as with David, we step out in faith with Jesus, despite our limitations, to serve our Heavenly Father. He will never leave us to face our battles alone. He's always there to support, comfort, and encourage us. That's how our Father thinks. He is the perfect Father. Happy Father's Day.